Hello and welcome back to the Rugby Rundown. I'm Alex Corbicero, and as always, joining me is Will Hooley. Will, welcome to the show. Obviously, another exciting weekend of Premiership Rugby, MLR. Lots to talk about today.
There's a lot, mate. There was a lot indeed. There's so much coming up as well. We've got a mighty show with a couple of big back row guests. One from across the pond and another who, let's just say, is a friend of ours now. He's given us enough crap over the last however long, but great to speak with Lewis Ludlam at Northampton Saints, England back row star. And then we've also got Jama Fanana-Schultz from Old Glory DC coming up. Looking forward to just giving him a few words of honesty, Corbs, or what?
Oh, Fanana, he loves a bit of spice. Obviously, first off, congrats, Old Glory. Yes. Hell of an upset. Obviously, we didn't predict it, and if that motivates you, I'm really happy to see it, but it'll be good to get a bit of bantering on that, I'm sure, and hear what's going on in the world of Fanana-Schultz. Now he served his time in the naughty boy corner and he's back on the field.
He's back on the field. He's doing well. Yeah, big win for DC. Come on to all of that. That week 11 action. Corbs, you've been on a bye week.
Yeah.
Anything I should know? Anything where you've been?
Thank God.
No?
A bit
okay.
of a break after this roller coaster of a season. No, it was great. I got off to Austin for the weekend. Absolutely fun. Didn't want to come say hi at the shows. A bit of me time, obviously, with my partner, and went to the Joe Rogan Comedy Club again 2 nights.
Nice, man.
Good bit of me time before we get back on this lovely journey that I'm on.
The lovely journey that we're all on. Thank you, of course, for joining us on the Rugby Rundown and, of course, here on the Rugby Network. Make sure you join up, sign up, subscribe. All the content is there and all those games coming up at this weekend. One of which, actually, Corbs, I've got a shout out now, is the USA Rugby Club National Championships. That is on the Rugby Network. Big movement in the grassroots game. Great to have that across the across TRN. That's actually, guess where? In Austin, over the weekend.
How good.
Corbs is...
I'm going back.
You're going back.
Yeah,
big shout out for USA Club Rugby Championships happening this weekend. Time to go into that Premiership rundown action.
Well, round 17 of Premiership Rugby was in the books this weekend. A couple of nail-biters around the league. Well, it's absolutely heating up in this playoff run. Like, almost too close to call. You think, you know, probably three of the four, but it's going to be a photo finish this weekend. But let's look at 17's results before we talk 18.
Absolutely. It's going to go down to the wire. Yes, and it started off, it was on a Friday night at Sale in Manchester. Sale taking on the Leicester Tigers. Leicester needed something out of this game. They were even going to try and get near the top four, but Sale did a job. And in particular, George Ford controlled things brilliantly. 21-15, they led at halftime. It was Sam James on his last home game for Sale Sharks. Know him well, actually, from age group days. He's then just been there as a stalwart the whole time. So really good work from him. And they ran away with it in the end, 31-22. That's a big win for Sale. Corbs, Falcons, could they get a first win of the season against Bath?
The answer is no. The answer is sadly no. They obviously played a Bath side. We had hopes for Falcons at home. Mm-hmm. They showed a bit of competitiveness against Sale the week before, but this time it was all Bath. Four tries before halftime kind of sealed off the deal. And yeah, Newcastle still chasing that first win, but Bath also securing valuable 5 points yes. in this run-in,
yes.
which is
massive.
I can't state how close this is. I don't think we've ever had a premiership this undecided this late in the season.
No, not at all. And the points just kept coming in then for the other teams as well. Exeter Chiefs versus Quins, I'm going to go to next. What a massive performance from Exeter Chiefs, winning this one 58-26 against Harlequins. First half, it was 21-all. Henry Slay doing so well. Marcus Smith doing really well for Quins. The English stars really standing out. And then talk about English stars, Feo Wabosso turned up. Man, he had an epic game. Some of his runs, the try. He had just everything about it. And Exeter with a massive win at Sandy Park, but Quins did pick up that losing bonus point right at the end, which could be huge, Corbs. Last but not least, you had this game because it was on Fox.
Yeah.
It was Bristol versus Saris. We thought with Pat Lamb, could Bristol do it? No.
Unfortunately, Saris shows why they are the defending champs. I mean, unfortunately for Bristol fans, obviously it was a tough game, but Saris put on a display, 20 unanswered points scored between 23 minutes to half time. That sort of set the tone. And then, you know, the big guns in the second half kept going. And unfortunately, Bristol who had been pretty much flawless up until that point this year, hadn't lost
a
game.
Finally get a loss.
And could that be the loss that slips them out? Because if you look at the table...
Let's look at it now.
Oh my God, is it tight. Saints sitting at the top on 60. Obviously, just on their heels are Saracens, four back at 56. And then here's where it gets tight. Bath on 55, Sale on 52. So that's your top four at the moment. And then you got Exeter on 50, Harlequins on 50, Bristol Bears on 49. In theory, all of those teams could still qualify, but it's going to take a little bit of math and calculation in these last results, which we'll probably get into right now.
Yes. Well, actually, before we get into that, Corbs, because there was one last result that we didn't talk about.
Oh, you're right.
Because it was a, I mean, I'm going to use the word embarrassment. 90 points to nothing. Northampton Saints at home to Gloucester. And before we get a reaction on that, what a brilliant time to bring in an absolute superstar, not just for the Saints in his last season, also an England star as well, having been to two Rugby World Cups. Such a great privilege to have Mr. Lewis Ludlam. He came on earlier this morning to chat about all the Saints' success, that win on the weekend, and then everything to play for, mate. Take a look at this one. This was good fun. I caught up with Lewis Ludlam. Lewis Ludlam joins me from across the pond. Lewis, my man, we go back a long way. I remember you as, I think, like a 14-year-old kid. And look at you now, England international, Northampton Saints Centurion. You're now off to go and play in Toulon in the top 40. I mean, first and foremost, mate, how are you doing? So good to have you on the Rugby Rundown.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me. Appreciate you having me on. And it's great to see you doing your work across the pond as well. Things have been going well, obviously. Northampton's a really enjoyable place to be. It always is when you're winning games, you know that. So, I'm enjoying my rugby a lot at the minute and looking forward to a new challenge also.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the Saints then this season, because you've just been insane. And talk about insane, that result of the weekend, 90 points to nothing against Gloucester. Now, for you and being part of the Saints team this year, that must be fantastic, but it also is a slight bit of worry, isn't it, in the Premiership for a team to be beaten by 90 points. What was the reaction after the game when you just absolutely annihilated a team?
I think we probably spoke a lot emotionally in the week. Obviously, we came off the back of a tough loss in the European semi-final. So we said, if we want to be the team we want to be, it's about getting back off the canvas and really ripping into Gloucester. How didn't expect it to be that sort of result. And I know they're looking ahead to semi-finals and whatnot, so rested a few lads. But I think we had a real focus on ourselves. And I think the pleasing thing was we defended really well. And obviously, you've got to attack pretty well to put 90 points on the board. But I think sometimes in those games, you can sort of second guess the team they put out, or all of a sudden it comes into a bit of summer rugby and the ball gets chucked around a fair bit and you concede a few. And we managed to keep them out for 80 minutes as well, which was a pleasing thing. Obviously, there's not a massive amount you can draw from that. So I think the focus has very much just been switched onto this week. I mean, we're in a fortunate position now where we qualified for a home semi-final, but the challenge now is to really define our spot at the top of that table this weekend.
Now, talk to me about Franklin's Gardens. I know myself, I know you've known for many years now. It's a special place. It was rocking in the sun on the weekend. It'll be rocking again on a Friday night, the 31st of May, for that home semi-final. I mean, how special is it playing at the Gardens, particularly this year when you guys have been on fire?
Oh, it's been unbelievable. I think we've got quite a relatively young group coming through. So I think the crowd and the energy that we get playing at home is something that we've tapped into quite a lot this year. And it seems to bring the best out of ourselves. And a lot of that has been Friday nights. It just feels like there's a different buzz around the place. So the chance we get to run out at home in a semi-final on a Friday night for what's myself, Courts, Alex Waller, those two absolute club legends at home for what definitely is the last game at Franklin's Gardens is something that's going to be really special, and I'm sure will be quite emotional as well.
Yeah, man, it's hugely emotional. I mean, there was some good photos coming in of like a end of ceremony type event at the end of the game against Gloucester, getting your shirt. I will come on to a minute about how much it's meant to you being at the Saints, but this group seems so together.
I think this year is a real sense that if we're all pulling in the same direction and we win at the weekend, it's a whole squad that's winning at the weekend. And I think the team gets a lot of energy from that. And the fact that we've created a culture like that and the group is so close as it is, I think is definitely showed on the field.
Now you've got one more game against Bath. You're top of the log at the moment. One more regular season game. That is important because you want to stay top. Top means that number one plays number four at home and number two plays number three at home. Has there been a sort of conversation just like you want to get the job fully done before you go into those semi-finals, or is it kind of like, no, we're done, we don't mind now?
No, the job's not done. Not because we're worried about who we're going to play in a semi-final. I think this team now is keen. Whoever turns up, we're ready for a scrap, and we're looking forward to it. But to get the chance to finish top of the table is a statement itself, and to chase that, I've never been in a team that's finished top of the table, and that's something that's a great opportunity for us. And there's a potential, the team's not out yet, there's a potential that there might be a few lads rested for the weekend, but I think now, whatever team steps on the pitch, we've shown such depth this season that it's going to be a competitive side regardless, and we're going down there fully wanting to win the game and win it well. So, but performance obviously is always got to come first, and that's what we're going to be chasing this weekend.
Now let's bring it now to you, because lads, you've been part of the Saints furniture now for quite a while. Well over 125 performances as well. I was checking in because you never know those stats, whether you've had more or even less, I don't know. But and 25 England caps all in your time when you've been at the Saints. You now move on to Toulon in the top 14 next season. Sum it up, I'm sure you've been asked a lot of times, like, just how much has it meant? I know, because I see it, I've been around you in those years, like how much it's meant for you to play for Northampton Saints this year and particularly play with some of those legends as well on your team.
Yeah, I mean, from 14 years old, playing at Franklin's Gardens has always been the goal. It's always been the dream. And for my family, being Saints supporters, it means a massive amount to my friends, my family. And every time I've stepped on the pitch, I felt like I've been representing them. So yeah, it's been an unbelievable experience, and the fact that we've got a great chance this season to finish it off really well is made it that much more special. And yes, it will be sad to leave, but I think the fact that I'm able to leave the club on my own terms and pursue different opportunities, and it's something that's you don't often get to do in other walks of life, to know that you can play at other parts of the world and have a job and be secure, is something that is obviously exciting as well. So I think when that opportunity came up, I think it was a really, really tough decision and something that I thought long and hard about, but I felt like now was the right time to make that decision. Like I say, the opportunity to go play in a different part of the world and test myself against different opposition, it just felt like the next step in my career.
Now, talk to me just briefly. Have you done some French lessons? Are you eating a few more croissants? Are you having a little bit more red wine, mate? I mean, how are you sort of, are you developing a bit of a French culture in you? Like, I don't know, you're very English, so I'm concerned about you, mate. This is a foreign ground you're going into.
Not quite. Yeah, I'm staying off of croissants and the red wine for obvious reasons. So, yeah, but no, trying to learn the language as much as possible to make that transition easy. The last thing I want is to go into a team where I can't express myself and speak my mind and also try and take on a leadership role as well. So I think speaking the language is important. But yeah, I'm looking forward to for what's to come. But in a way, it doesn't yet really feel like I'm leaving the club. We've what feels like a lot of rugby to play, and it feels like what's in our hands could be the best yet. So that's sort of part to the back of my mind. The focus has very much just been winning games at Northampton now.
Man, it's going to be an incredible end of the season. I just know whatever happens. I think just before you go, though, lads, I want to just get, because a few of our listeners will obviously be amazed to be speaking and hearing from an England international in the Premiership. You have been part of an amazing team with some incredible players, the likes of someone like Big Courtney Laws, to be someone in like your position as well. I suppose for a back rower out there, particularly this American audience, what would you say have been some of the key components that has allowed you to develop and perform so well? And where would you say is like key ingredients for like a back row player?
Cool. I think for me, I've always had great people around me. So my family have been unbelievable at supporting me through every step of the journey. I had the likes of Jonathan Fisher when I was coming through the academy, taking me aside after training and working on parts of my game. And sort of guiding me through that process. So I owe a massive amount to them, the likes of Chris Boyd, for giving me the opportunity and just creating an environment that I was able to grow in. I think something I got bogged down with a lot as a young player is having a point of difference. And sometimes when you do that, you can focus on one thing too much and you can obsess over it. And while the point of difference is important, I think you'll find that quite naturally. I think years ago I tried to work on breakdown stuff, and as an under 20s player, I was seen as a breakdown specialist, and I got to a point where I was seen as a defending back rower, and I was there to get through work and make tackles. And then later on in my career, the carrying side's coming to fruition a little bit. But I think for me now, it's just about getting through as much work as possible, and that's become a key part of my game and sort of my point of difference. So I think if I had any advice to younger players is don't try and force that. And I think that will come quite naturally. And the quicker you can figure out who you are as a player and as a person, it makes everything on the field a massive amount easier.
Lads, it's been an absolute pleasure, mate. We could talk for many more hours, but I know that you're pressed for time. Thanks so much for joining us on the Rugby Rundown. Good luck this weekend against Bath, and then good luck for the playoffs, man. I know Corbs and I, we're a little bit biased as former Saints players. We wish you all the best.
Brilliant. Thanks very much. Cheers for having me.
Absolute pleasure to have Lads on the pod. What a legend. I remember seeing him as an academy lad, as you would have known, young. And you know, I'll be honest, I wouldn't have guessed he was going to turn into the player he has. And I think that's just a testament to how hard he's worked
his whole
life. And
I was off to France as well.
Yeah,
what an
exactly.
opportunity.
Exciting times. And yeah, obviously, strong win for Saints and Gloucester. Yeah, that's
bad, man.
That's bad.
I know you know Don Waldock well and also Skivington, but that's hard to even try and be sympathetic towards them. That is just poor.
Yeah, I there's no sugarcoating it. I'm assuming they're literally just focusing on that European Challenge final. I think there was something like 5 lone players in that
but
team.
It's not good for the Premiership.
And it just kind of,
Dear. We could go on about this a lot, but we won't because we don't have the time, unfortunately, because the fixtures coming up, Corbs, are just as big as the results that just happened in that the last round 18. It's Bath against Northampton, Gloucester versus Newcastle, Harlequins versus Bristol, Leicester versus Exeter, and that one, Saracens versus Sale, that will be on the Fox Sport channel, so you'll see Mr. Corbusier involved in that. Quick one, Corbs. There is just the results all around. Like, things have to happen. Like, Sale have to beat Saracens, and then, like, then can Harlequins get help? They then obviously have to win and beat Bristol, but they need to win Bristol. It's just crazy.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. I think Saints already qualified, guaranteed top two, will probably send a younger side out.
Yes.
So that would make me think Bath.
They want to make sure they're first, though. So
but why?
Because then they play fourth. I don't know.
You don't even know third or fourth.
I don't know.
I don't actually know how much of a bonus that is or not. And so that's why I think that they'll send a younger team out. So that means maybe Bath get that win. So that to me makes Northampton one. I think Saracens beat Sale.
Yeah.
So I think that puts Saracens potentially one or two.
Yeah.
And I think Bath stay three.
So they stay three. And then...
And then
who jumps
is,
in?
This
who
is
jumps
where
in?
This is where it's can Exeter produce at Welford Road or is it Harlequin winner or Harlequins Bristol?
Wow, I genuinely think...
That is the question for me.
Quins could just fly in right at the end. I don't think, especially them being at home, I think nice weather.
If Exeter Chiefs can get the win, or if they can't, then winner or Harlequins Bristol for me is the fourth team.
There you go. The last round of regular fixtures. They're on the Rugby Network. Make sure you go and see them live or on demand later. That game that is on Fox will be there 24 hours later. Let's jump out of the Premiership then and get straight into it, because it was Major League Rugby Week 11. And we've also got Major League Rugby Week 12 coming up. Corbs, it's safe to say that our predictions were an utter disgrace and useless. You were better by me by one. I'll give you that. 2 out of 5. But fair play. Big, big wins for some of those teams that we did not think. Nola Gold being one. Yes, DC. And the other one being LA away. I mean, man, you lead it by one more, but I'm just not happy in myself. The fact that I've got... I don't know what you think, mate, but are we getting any good at this? Or is this league just so competitive? You just don't know. You just don't know.
I think you can look at it two ways. I think there's no doubt that our picks were garbage.
that's a fair word.
Le garbage, yeah. as we'll say, to keep it, you know, slightly spruced up. But I also think it does show that this league, like anyone, like someone turns up or goes cross country and they don't bring their A game.
And just sneaking it.
Yeah.
Three games within one point.
Yeah. So that's why I think it's good for the league. It's exciting. I also like that it gets everyone else geared up when they can prove us wrong with a
prediction
or an underdog score. But yeah, I thought it was an exciting weekend. And yeah, back to drawing board on these picks. But luckily, I got one extra. So that keeps me three ahead in the grand total.
Fair enough.
Three up on the grand total, and I'll take not losing to you for a week. There's been a bit of a slide for me.
Yeah, I was about to say, I thought I had the upper hand coming into this, but let's get into it then. Those week 11 results started off, had this game, Anthem versus Houston. I always try and be positive Anthem because I see a lot of positives happening, but the first half, they were just blown away by Houston. Houston picking up the try bonus point pretty much inside the first 25 minutes. They were 33-3 up. Tries from Van der Skyf, Missung Nalu. They were just coming in, and Houston were looking really strong. Second half, very different. Anthem actually came back, two tries from then. Josh Shelter and Al Jabouri, the two wingers, getting over the line for Anthem. A bunch of tries called back for Houston. It was a bit of a sticky, not very good second half. In the end, Anthem 15, Houston though, with all 5 points, picking up a 38-15 win. You had a look at that Dallas game as LA. We did not think... I did not see this coming.
I worried for Dallas because they had the short turnaround. So
that was fair. Maybe
Sunday to Friday.
But they rested some players.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But still, they had to roll out a lot of players again. And so for me, obviously, I felt for Dallas. But, you know, fair play to LA. We said we were worried about them. You know, had they dipped, injuries, whatever.
Yeah,
proved us wrong, you know. and I think they showed a very good side. And, yeah, I think being a year one team, consistency every week is going to be hard. But it shows when they have their team on the field or the majority of their best players, they can still absolutely play and score tries, you know. I thought Dam was quality all day. Two tries for them. Obviously, a red card to Emery, which hurt them as well. And Tuifua for Dallas was just unreal, scoring two tries as well. But then I think it looked like Dallas potentially had steered the game.
And then the Zeiss red card, though, that was key.
Aziz for me.
Yeah.
Sort of changed the game, and that allowed Dam to score a third try. And that meant that then Chait could then make the last penalty in extra time to win. And massive win for them, and gutted for Dallas, who, you know, shows so much promise and they can almost beat anyone, but then they still... maybe don't get the win in some of those games. It just shows more tight games across
the world. More tight games, particularly in the West as well. You've got to say, the West is really tight. And it's going to get even tighter now because Seattle went to Nola and Nola won. It was a game where, I'll be honest, first half, you think Seattle were in control, JP Smith sniping, scoring, lovely little grubber play from Mac Mason, sending up Divian Rousseau. They were 24-10 at halftime, Corbs. Didn't think anything of it. Genuinely, it was just like, yeah, well done, Seattle. Another 5-point win. And then Nola came back in that second half. Really impressive. Two Callum Botcher tries. And by the end, 32-31, Seattle couldn't come back. What a win for Nola Gold. Seattle Does that dampen their hopes of getting the top spot in the West? We'll find out later. For you, Corbs, you had the last look at Miami versus Utah. That was a one-point game, but interesting. Miami pretty good.
Miami showed their class at home, and you know, I picked them and they did rise to the occasion. Obviously went 17-0 up at the half. And you know, Utah eventually were able to rescue a comeback to salvage the scoreline with some late tries and making it a one-point game. But for me, it was sort of Miami's game, and yeah, and they you know, showed it there again, another side, which I've been down there and played and tough just escaped the win. They are, no, you cannot sleep on them. They're a legit team, just like LA, just like other teams. Like the year one teams are setting the standard for what's possible
Utah,
in this league.
Utah didn't help themselves, though. There was that red card to Jensen in that second half. So you could say the red cards in this league, definitely to remind everyone that there's 20 minutes off the field and then you can replace. But the 20 minutes, I mean, in the end, we're not necessarily where Miami scored points, but they couldn't come back, Utah. And that was their issue in the end.
Yeah.
Far too late. Leaving it far too late. Corbs, there is one fixture that I did leave out because it's just best to just get our man on. He's given us some honest opinions. Oh, all in a good way. We're joking. We love him to bits. Great to have DC, Old Glory DC's Fanana Schultz, because what a win for DC. Corbs, quick one from you. That is a big win for them. 22-21 in Chicago.
Huge win.
Massive.
And yeah, well done getting that win. And yeah, hopefully you continue that momentum now. Because I can pick you again.
I know. Well, let's talk about picks. I'm looking forward to having Jammo because we're going to talk about him being at DC. What's the feeling like after that win? The aims for this season. And you know what? Jammer, come and join us for predictions as we look at week 12 predictions with Jammer Fanana Schultz. Jammer Fanana Schultz, he's given us enough abuse. He's come at us from all different angles, but the main man is here now. All jokes aside, Jammer, thanks so much for joining on your bye week as well, buddy. We really appreciate it. How are you doing? How was things? That big win on the weekend, you must be happy.
No, the victory Mondays always feel a lot better after a good win, and especially against Butch at Chicago, so it's even makes us, my smile even a lot better with the boys. So nah, I enjoyed that one.
No, definitely, mate. And you know, in honor of you, and we know you, I love you. I know you love your feedback. I just brought some salt here. Just I thought it's very fitting with you on the pod. But nah, congratulations on the win, mate. Obviously, yeah, fair play letting us boys know. Let's just talk about it. What did you make of the game, and what were your thoughts on it?
No, I think ever since they joined last year, it's always been a great rivalry between us. I think that's what the MLE is, you know, just trying to get that rivalry back between the two teams. You know, we used to have a good rivalry against Austin. And then after they folded, we tried to find a team that we wanted to, you know, that we kind of hated enough to play against them. So I think we found a good one in Chicago there. You know, quite similar packs. I think their pack is probably one of the better ones of the league. And it was always good to try and test our league against our pack against theirs, and I thought we did a pretty good job. Definitely, our forward pack put in the work to get that work done. So I think we dominated in those type of pieces.
Yes, mate, 100%. That first Gattes try, I just thought everything that I know, having spoken to Simon Cross before the game, it was about territory and it was about trying to win the set piece battle. And mate, you did that, found the territory. McVee's been really good at scrum half, got to say, and then pushed over that try. Then it was just penalties. Like, what coming away from that, were you most impressed about your performance as a team? Because, you know, Chicago have been going very well this season.
Yeah, no, I think what I'm really proud of with the boys is our composure under the tough moments. I think in the past, Old Glory's been known to panic or fall apart in the closing minutes, especially with those close games. And obviously, we've started off a bit rough this year, but I think these past 2 weeks has really shown the kind of character we are as a team. And that's something we're trying to build, especially with a lot of turnover of new players, trying to build that culture of closing out some tough games. And that's what I'm really proud of with the boys.
And then, Farana, basically, you've obviously had to serve a ban for 5 weeks, now 2 weeks back. Just personally, obviously, touch a little bit on your season and how good it is to be back out there with the boys and obviously celebrating wins as well.
Yeah, obviously, yeah, the 5 weeks out was a bit tough and the boys did struggle during that time. And, you know, it does definitely come out of the leadership, especially when you're part of a team organization. You need some good leaders to lead a team. And I think me being back definitely helped the team with me leading the pack out there. These past 2 weeks I've been back, you know, obviously we're two games in a row now going into a bye week. So I definitely think that this is our brand new start. You know, we go into our bye week now and then we go and finish off strong with those four games.
Mate, you are on the league table in fourth. Big win that then jumps you. It sounds like a football, soccer formation. You're 4-4-2. Four wins, four losses, two draws. Yeah. Like, what do you foresee this season? Look, Corbs and I have sometimes been openly a little bit critical of you guys just through inconsistency. Like, but yeah. does this victory at the weekend, does that put like a stake in the ground and go from here on, you're wanting top four, you're wanting playoffs, and you really feel you can do something really exciting in the East?
Yeah, I think as rugby players and as a team, you know, we get caught up with wins being the most important parts. But when you go over the weeks, even the losses, even the draws, it's you got to look at the bigger picture, and that's having success as a team and seeing those better pitches, not just wins, but also just the performances of some individual players that we're trying to get to. Like I said, we've had a lot of turnover of new players. You know, we lost 21 players last year. Another new 16, 17 came in this year. And we're just trying to find our footing, get our culture back going, and just trying to find a bond with our new family. And it comes down to consistency, you're right. But, you know, over the past few weeks, we're finally seeing some great individual performances. And I think that game against Chicago really showed now we're finally bonding as a brotherhood, and that's what's going to happen. You get some tough wins out.
And, you know, you guys are in playoff contention. I think last year you showed, you know, that you guys hit your form in that last run of the season, made it all the way to the Eastern Conference final. Obviously, this year, although you maybe haven't had the season you would have wanted, you have gone to the Free Jacks and won. You have gone to Chicago and won. As you're looking at a playoff run and where this team could go, how much confidence does that give you that maybe it doesn't matter if you're one or two, but you guys are still a dog in this race?
I think over the past few years, you've seen the MLR and you see some amazing teams come out of nowhere and just do some great performances. Doesn't matter if you're fourth place, sixth place, first place. You know, this league's grown so much. You know, with the amount of talent we're getting, the amount of coaches, the great coaches we're getting into teams. And you're seeing that, you know, you're seeing some teams do some big performances. Yeah, Anthem haven't performed well this year, but, you know, they've had some great performances against them. So pretty strong teams. Even that game on the weekend against Houston, you know, they showed a tough performance and it's just amazing to see. So this league's very close. There's no team where you're going to be like, wow, okay, they deserve to win every game now. It's every man for himself. And, you know, when that playoff mentality comes through, yeah, it's dog-eat-dog world. So everyone's going to be an opportunity to get that cup.
Man, I love it, the fact that you're back. You're back healthy. You're not any behind any ban at the moment. Let's keep that as it is. But what I also love, as we said right before, or right at the start, is we love that you have your say on some of our predictions. So I thought, I know we haven't got you for long because you're on your bye. We want to let you go. We thought we'd bring you into our predictions for round 12, week 12 coming up, just to get an idea of how me and Corbs look at it and maybe also have a look at it from you as well, Jammer.
Yeah, of course. Let's get to it.
Thank you for listening to the Rugby Rundown podcast, but there is still a little bit left. That's right, the full episode is on the Rugby Network, where you can find those predictions, where we're joined by Jammer Fanana Schultz. Wow, does he make some wild suggestions. As week 12 MLR action comes up, so go and watch the full episode, get those predictions, see the highlights, see the graphics in episode 24 of the Rugby Rundown, only full episode on the Rugby Network.